Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Chameleon for Christ.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 19. Let us listen to God's word for us this morning. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might share in its blessings. Amen.
We continue this same teaching of Paul. He carries on that conversation for quite a while in 1 Corinthians, and so we pick up really the same message in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and now at the 23rd verse. Paul writes, "All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Do you seek your own advantage, but that of the other? Do not seek your own advantage, but that of the other. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising question on the grounds of conscience, for the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. So if an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you're disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered to a sacrifice, then do not eat it out of consideration for the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. And in this, I mean the other's conscience, not your own. For why should my liberty be subject to the judgment of someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why should I be denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks, to the church of God. Just as I try to please everything in everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that they may be saved. In this, be imitators of me, as I am an imitator of Christ. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. May your word shape and inform and inspire my words, and may my words be useful to help to shape and inform and inspire us as your people. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. I'd like to give you a little insight into a dilemma that every pastor I know encounters from time to time. At what point, when meeting someone new, do you disclose that you are, in fact, a pastor? I know I've told you stories about this particular dilemma before, and I'll admit I go back and forth in my own response to it, largely depending on how I read a given situation. There are times when I choose to disclose early on in the conversation, which invariably leads either to kind of a shrug of the shoulders or an opportunity to tell good tab stories, and you know how much I love to tell tab stories. But I can also think of times that I have not disclosed my profession only to have it be revealed at some later point in the conversation, and then it is fascinating to watch people's minds start to race. What have I said, or what swear word have I uttered in this conversation earlier? I've even discovered that this to tell or not to tell dilemma is not the pastor's alone. Early in ministry, Chris and I were invited to the home of some friends for a social engagement, and when we arrived, the hostess took me aside and said, John, I hope you don't mind, but I don't really want to introduce you as my pastor. I want people to like you. So, the dilemma persists, to tell or not to tell. And it seems not just for pastors or parishioners, but Paul seems to have wrestled with much of the same, and for good reason. Paul, we know as the great evangelist of the early church, but he also had a backstory. Recall, prior to his conversion on the road to Damascus, he was an accomplished Pharisee, a great persecutor of the church. So once he started preaching and teaching about Jesus, he had some credibility issues to deal with. When he spoke with Jewish audiences, they saw him as a turncoat, as a traitor, and so viewed him with contempt. When he spoke to Gentile audiences, they thought he was speaking foolishness when he spoke of only one God and one Savior, Jesus Christ. Even his Christian audiences were suspicious of him, fearing that his preaching may be nothing more than a ruse for further persecution. So gaining a hearing was not an easy task for Paul. So we read in our passages from 1 Corinthians the approach that he took to the dilemma of to tell or not to tell. He writes, "To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win some Jews. To those under the law," and we might think of these as the God-fearing Gentiles who were following Jewish dietary law, "to those under the law I became as one under the law so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law," here meaning Gentiles, "I became as one outside the law so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. I do all for the sake of the gospel." So is Paul being wishy-washy here, saying one thing in one place and something completely different in another setting, trying to please all the people all the time? On the surface, that might appear to be the case, but I don't think so at all. He makes his motive very clear in each of these instances. His purpose, whoever he was speaking with, in whatever setting he found himself, was to proclaim the gospel message so as to win some to Christ. He was willing to make himself adaptable if in any way he could make Christ presentable or acceptable. He was willing to modify his own behavior, depending on the setting, without abandoning his message. And in this, he was willing to become what I will refer to as being a chameleon for Christ. Willing to change his colors, if you will, depending on his audience, Jewish, Gentile, Christian, without changing his motive or his message, that of bringing some to faith in Jesus Christ. So, not to push that analogy too far, but just as a chameleon knows who it is, despite its adaptation to a changing environment, so Paul knew exactly who he was, a man in Christ, a slave of Jesus Christ, to use his own language, willing to be adaptive in order to share the gospel message. So rather than being wishy-washy, I think what Paul was doing, his approach was brilliant and masterful. This dilemma of how we are to remain true to ourselves and to Christ in the various settings we find ourselves in belongs not just to Paul, not just to pastors, but to each and every one of us, doesn't it? Which of us has not found ourselves in the awkward position of being in a setting or in a conversation with a friend or a coworker or someone at school, in a casual conversation with a stranger in which we find ourselves feeling uncomfortable with the way the conversation is going, the way the decision is being made, the tone or the language that is being used when speaking about someone with whom the group seems to disagree or disparage? What do you do in those situations when your thoughts are conflicted and your gut's turning and your impulse is to say, "Hey, wait a minute, folks, I'm a Christian and I'm just not comfortable with this"? But we just can't find the intestinal fortitude to actually say that. When the topic is social or racial or political or theological, it matters not. All of us have found ourselves in that situation, haven't we? So in here, we can nod our heads in genuine agreement with one another when we hear the teachings of Jesus, when we hear the truths of our faith about love and justice and acceptance of the other. But putting those truths into practice or standing up for them out there becomes a bit more of a challenge, doesn't it? So how do we, as the English would say, live among the English? There are many different approaches that we might take to this dilemma we find ourselves in. One possible solution is simply to absent ourselves from any such behavior and those who practice them, to surround ourselves only with Christians, only with those with whom we always agree. But that too poses something of a problem for us, because even we who call ourselves followers of Jesus are too often practitioners of attitudes and behaviors unbecoming of our Lord, and certainly of our bearing of his name. And were we to absent ourselves in this way from the culture around us, what opportunities would we ever have for witness to actually be salt and light to the world? Some among us, when finding ourselves in those settings with whom we disagree, choose to speak out or to get up and walk out. Others of us choose to sit silently, and worse yet, to nod our heads or give a passive smile when an off-color joke or a discriminatory statement is made. We've kind of chosen to take the go-along to get-along approach in the hope that the topic of conversation will change quickly. I'll confess that when I do that, I find myself feeling as though I've missed an opportunity to speak a word of faith or of reason or of moderation. So is that what we think Paul is doing when he says he's trying to be all things to all people, just agree with everything and everyone on every issue so as to avoid confrontation? Perhaps we could criticize him of that, but I don't think that's what he was doing at all. In fact, I'm quite confident it was not. Rather, I think he was doing something that you and I can do as well. In each of these situations, he clearly knew who he was, a man in Christ, a slave of Jesus Christ. So he knew his purpose and his intention, that being to share the gospel message. And so he was willing to change his approach, perhaps even his behavior in each given situation, without changing his message or his motive. As he writes this word of advice, "Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not speaking my own advantage, but that of many, so that many may be saved." Paul knew exactly what he was doing. To use the language of young life, he was trying to earn the right to be heard. He was trying to come alongside or enter into their world by engaging in their discussions, not in order that he might become more like them, but that they might become more like him and ultimately more like Christ. He was being a conciliator, a bridge builder, by seeking to overcome cultural or ethnic divisions, by bringing all sorts of disparate people together with the desire that some, if not all, will hear the gospel message and respond to it. Now, this is an effort and an approach to evangelism and faith sharing that can't be done from afar. It can't be done just from ivory towers or from elevated pulpits. This is the kind of faith sharing, genuine faith sharing, that must be done one-on-one over coffee and conversation. And it requires of us spiritual adeptness, social awareness, and emotional intelligence. I think Paul is inviting us, really he's challenging us, to walk a very fine line here. But he's giving us the tools to do so. So often we in the church ask the question, How can we get them, meaning those who aren't part of the church, to become more like us? Perhaps we're asking the wrong question. Perhaps the better question is, how can we become more like them so that they can become more like Jesus? Paul here is modeling exactly what Jesus has done for us. Jesus came to us so that we might come to him. He became like us so that we might become like him. So Paul is arguing, or he's encouraging us to go to others, to come alongside them, to engage in those conversations with the clear intention, and this is where the fine line comes in, with the clear intention that in those settings, we might represent Christ. So how do we do that? In Paul's world, he says, well, when I'm with Jews, I act like a Jew. When I'm with Gentiles, I act like a Gentile. When I'm with Christians, I act like a Christian. Not an easy balancing act, to be sure, but his intention in every one of those settings was absolutely pure. It is to win some to Christ. Is it possible for us to do the same? Well, I'll admit, I think the challenge is even more difficult for us than perhaps even it was for Paul. For him, many of those points of disagreement were over things like dietary laws, that Jews and Gentiles and Christians didn't necessarily mix and match as they do for us today. Those groups and a myriad of others overlap in every setting we are in. So how can we use Paul's guidance here? First and foremost, we need to remember who we are and whose we are. Regardless of where we are, who we're with, or what the topic of conversation or decision-making is that we find ourselves in, we need to remember that our identity is found in Jesus Christ, and we can't abdicate that. We are Christ's ambassadors in every one of those settings. And so we need to keep in mind that our desire is, as his representatives, to represent him well. We may be privy to conversations or discussions or decisions with which we don't agree or that seem contrary to our faith, but that doesn't mean we necessarily need to be party to them. We can and must speak and act and vote our conscience in ways that are clear and intentional because they're guided by our faith. Of course we can speak up. Of course we must speak up or speak out when words or actions are racist or sexist, hurtful or harmful. We need to counter negative talk, negative truths with positive truths, both spoken and posted, I would add. We need to stand up against racism and discrimination in any of its myriad forms. But we also need to strive to do so in a manner that represents both the truths of Christ, but also the character of Christ, which means that every circumstance we find ourselves in might require a different or a nuanced response. Am I in any way suggesting that we don't need to speak up and defend our faith or our sensibilities? No, absolutely not. But I do believe that we would do well to learn to listen, not just to talk, not just to debate in order to win arguments. While a timely word wisely spoken is often beneficial, I'm not always convinced that winning arguments for Christ actually furthers the cause of Christ. So we must practice respect, particularly with those with whom we disagree. A gentle word turns away wrath, says the proverb. Is this being soft and wishy-washy? I don't believe so. Paul wasn't avoiding the issues of his day. He wasn't avoiding issues of immorality. Rather, he was saying, I'm willing to walk alongside these people in order to win some of them to Christ, in order to represent Christ to them. I'm willing to go with them in order to bring them to him. And I believe we can do the same. I'll admit, these are difficult situations we find ourselves in. They require us to be adept and perceptive in each given circumstance. Willing to accommodate, but not to acquiesce on matters of faith and truth and fairness. to change our methods, but never our motives, that of sharing or representing gospel truths, pointing people to Jesus, both in our words and in our actions. Becoming enough like the culture that we can find our place at the table, that we can be part of those conversations without losing our distinction or our distinctiveness. Openly showing the difference that Jesus Christ makes in the way we live our lives, not by hiding, but by living fully in Him and in the world, and in all of this, trusting the work of the Holy Spirit to use us, even when our words and our actions seem to be inept and inadequate. I believe that while we as followers of Christ need to stand firmly in and for the cause of Christ in our speech and in our actions, I also believe we need to find ways to change the tone of the conversations in which we find ourselves. We need to be careful that in our efforts to fight dragons, we don't become dragons. Words matter. Tone matters. Theirs and ours alike. So this is what I think Paul was doing, and I think it's what he's encouraging us to do as well, when he writes that he was trying to be all things to all people that we might by all means save some. As long as we know who we are and whose we are and who we represent in any given situation, that looks to me very much like trying to become a chameleon for Christ.